Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking with John Doerr about aliens. So, well, more to that, not just aliens, ancient civilizations. We're predating the pyramids of Egypt. So we're talking more than 3,000 years ago. Sorry, let me rephrase that. More than 3,000 years before Christ. All right, I'm going to bring in John Doerr. One moment, please. Is this Mr. Doerr?
Yes, this is. Is this Mr. Easton?
Yes, it is. How's it going, man? What are you doing?
Good, James. How are you?
Good. My friend just came over. We worked on his project and stuff in Adobe Premiere. And it went well. I gave him a good techno track that I like. It's called Café Del Mar. And what the fuck remix is it? Anyway, who cares? Yeah, I smoked some hash. I feel pretty good. You know, that's the way it is.
Awesome.
Yeah. How about you? Yeah.
Wish I could say the same, but I'm still all right.
Damn. No. I'm super thrilled because I didn't have cigarettes all day, and then he came over and he left me a whole bunch helping him out. But anyways, I watched a video on, everything before... So Atlantis and, not before, just Atlantis, really.
Yeah.
It was an in-depth hour-long thing on Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cartoon. And there's like 3 hours to watch. So I was like, I don't know if I could watch all this. But I recommend people watch it. It's super fucking wow. I mean, it explains a lot of stuff that I understand, too. They talk about higher states of consciousness and... They say that the Hebrews came from Mars. Mars used to be a planet, and I mean, isn't that some shocking fucked up shit? I mean, they were mostly male beings, and the Atlanteans were mostly female in terms of sort of behavior and attitude, and so the Martians basically were really pushy and mean, but they're all stuck on Atlantis, and eventually the Martians won and destroyed it, and that's as far as I got. It sort of talks about like something similar to what's going on here. I mean,
we've
got a bunch of people who have, like, I wouldn't say it's just a male quality, it's more of an evil quality, but it's sort of who cares which thing we're aligning with. I mean, masculine behavior I would say, this is just an estimation, but I would say that if women were running the world, I don't think we'd be in so much trouble. I mean, I think things would be a lot better.
I agree.
Other cultures and animals even have a matriarchal system.
Right, like the elephants.
The bonobo apes. They all basically follow the lead female figure, the alpha female or whatever. And basically it's about nurturing and less about fighting. So, you know, but
right.
Then there's the old adage, you know, like in the caveman days, everybody had to, you know, the man went out and hunted and gathered, and the woman stayed home and took care of the kids or whatever. But
right.
It's like, it could go either way. I mean, I don't know, man. But anyways, what did you learn?
I watched the thing about, actually I sent it to you too. It was, about the Vimanas that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
About the whole, ancient, Indian story.
Right.
About it. And, it's basically about, these, gods came, you know, from elsewhere. They were actually fleeing their planet that was in turmoil. And it's basically kind of the same story. There were two factions that were you know, feuding for a very long time. And some of them escaped the planet and fled, traveling across the universe to try to escape these their enemies who were pursuing them. And
it only really goes straight one direction.
Well, you can't. I mean, it is space. You can't.
You can probably deke them, but they'll cut off your curves, man. But anyways.
Well, like the story goes, they had like a head start on them, so they had a little, a little space between them. But so supposedly they landed on another planet that was in our solar system. And I forgot the name of it that they called it, but it was mostly a ocean planet. And they supposedly created a
whale.
No, they created a base, like a decoy base on the planet, to make their enemies when they finally caught up to them to think that they were on this planet, but in actuality they just made a decoy base and then came to Earth. So when their enemies showed up, they actually blew up the entire planet, and that's what's responsible for our asteroid belt now. That's mostly made of ice, which is, you know, water. And there's all kinds of examples of live fish falling from the atmosphere and stuff, and so they kind of equate it with this, that we're running into, you know, asteroids and pieces of ice in the asteroid belt that we cross multiple times.
Wow.
And when it hits our atmosphere, in other words, it unfreezes the ice, and live fish and stuff and animals from the other planet that were preserved in the ice, in other words, come, you know, flying down to Earth, you know, through our atmosphere. But anyway, it was
those
very
things are pretty nutty. I'm just kidding.
Well, but this is the thing. It does sound nutty, but at the same time, you know, if you imagine, you know, ancient Indians writing these stories, you know, like, you know, this is like way before any kind of, you know, modern technology, any kind of flying machines or anything like that. And this story revolves around UFOs and, like I said, high technology weapons, sort of along the lines of nuclear weapons.
Okay.
And so if you look at it in that context, it's crazy, but these people really weren't crazy, you know. So it kind of leaves you to wonder again, you know, why these people, these ancient people, were writing these stories about, you know, flying machines and you know, wars happening in the skies and on the ground with these great weapons. You know, where were they getting these storylines from? You know,
right?
They were like primitive people. So that kind of gives it validity to me, at least, you know, and points to something, you know, more than what they lead you to believe nowadays about history and stuff.
Well, could there have been human or some kind of beings on the planet at the time of Pangaea? Could that be Atlantis? I mean, the entire world, all one island. But then, right. I don't know. I mean, you split the oceans apart, and there's another civilization before Atlantis, which is called Lemuria, the land of Mu. And that I don't know enough about, but I know Tammy Wynette sings in it, and that song by KLF, Justified an Ancient. Anyways, there's definitely some stuff going on behind the scenes that, you know, you won't find in the History Museum or the whatever, you know, like, you won't find this on the news, you won't find it anywhere.
I'm saying that's the thing, too, like, archaeologists and stuff, you know, in other words, they find things, and then the archaeologists, you know, totally downplay it and say it's not real and blah, blah, blah. You get a lot of that, which I think is censoring of history that they don't want to get out. They don't want this information out. You know, people.
Just like 9/11 is a mystery. If you come at it from, you know, you don't know shit about it, and then all of a sudden, boom! You know, right in it. And so, like, I know of some strange sort of stones that were in Peru that are hexagonal, and they all fit together, and some are elevated and some are lower, but they're made of, like, I don't know, like some kind of emerald or whatever. And so they would be impossible to create, you know.
Yeah.
And to predate... Well,
right.
Record history. So
prehistory
that's
time.
That they're fucking ancient upon ancient, and that,
right.
You know, how the fuck is that possible? What does that tell you? There's so many. Well, we were talking about the Nazca lines.
Right.
Why don't I let you talk about it? Because I know I've seen a whole shitload of pictures. I think I've seen them all, but they're like basically. Assigned to people in the sky.
Right, they can only, they're not only lines, they're a myriad of geometrical lines, you know, angles and stuff, straight lines that run for miles and what also look like runways that are basically carved into the up there in Peru, in other words, in the elevation and stuff, it's kind of a deserty type of, you know, very arid. So if you etch, you know, just the, in other words, the top layer of the dirt and or sand up there, there's a big contrast underneath of the colors. So it's like perfect for drawing these things.
And, you know, what I was thinking the Nazca lines were the drawings. Like, there's a monkey and a spider and this and that. And there's, like...
Right.
You
I was going to say that, too.
It.
Right, they can only be seen from the air.
Right, okay.
They can only be seen from high elevation, you know, high up in the
And they're huge.
The
they cover, you know, a couple of miles across. They're, you know, they obviously knew how to draw for these guys because...
Right.
Maybe they're asked to, or like, I don't know, but it just...
Well, it's,
you know.
It's kind of speculated that basically that visitors, whoever, came down and interacted with these people for a time, and then they left. And these drawings and pictures of animals and stuff and runways were, in other words... in other words, call them back. Like, in other words, they're a beacon. Like, come here, you know, come back to us, you know.
Right.
But then again, you have the thing, like I said, with the top of the mountain being totally leveled and perfect. That couldn't be achieved by these people alone. So they had to, you know, it points to them having help, you know, of advanced technologies to help them. So maybe the aliens themselves marked this place, you know, to return to at a later date.
Okay.
And throughout time, you know, there's constantly UFO sightings all around these, you know, all around all of these monolithic, you know, structures and sites and stuff. They're constantly reports of UFO sightings.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I've seen enough, you know, cheesy, faked computer 3D UFO things. I mean, it's so easy to do.
Right.
And that, well, basically,
that could be a lot of disinformation, too, to steer people away from the truth that there really are, you know, visitors, you know, coming here from other worlds.
Well, isn't
you know?
That just it? Like, it's the original conspiracy theory. It's like there are aliens and, you know, Roswell and all that.
Right.
I mean, people start seeing aliens, spaceships, flying saucers, Bermuda Triangle, uh-huh. blah, blah. Everything's like
right.
shrouded in mystery and intrigue. And you got, I mean, when I was a kid, I was super interested in that. But I was also
right.
interested in archaeology.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, with the pyramids mainly and the Sphinx and just sort of like...
Right.
Tutankhamun, yeah, for sure, because,
yeah.
you know, it was all the gold, the treasure, it's all about, you know.
Yeah, that was a big thing when we were kids in, like, you know, what was it, like, late 70s, early 80s, when they brought him around to here to North America and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying everybody was into it, you know.
Right. I mean, maybe it was a time where, sort of like you were talking about before with... that was in the movie. Before World War II started, people were really interested in archaeology.
Right.
You know, it was all the roaring 20s.
That's when he was, I'm saying, his tomb was found. In the mid-teens?
Hmm?
The 19-teens?
I think it was discovered? 5 or something. Like, I'm not sure though.
Yeah.
But
around there, somewhere.
Yeah, there's said to be a curse on the tomb and all this stuff. You
right,
know, Eric Carter,
all the people.
And,
yeah,
what was
a lot
the
of people
Eric
died Carter? Mysteriously after finding his tomb.
Oh yeah, it's like
everybody that was involved.
Sorry. So yeah, the Egyptians are interesting because they're like. What the fuck is that about? You just don't get
right.
it, but what it brings
right.
down to is they're the pharaohs, the kings, the ones that had slaves upon slaves, who
wow.
all apparently Hebrew. And, you know, the pharaohs are like, I don't know how if evil can describe it. You know, like, they're just ruthless. They're...
Right.
Well,
they had all, you know, human sacrifice and... Right,
they thought they were God. They thought they
right.
were up there with fucking the sun, you know? And
mm-hmm.
so that's the beginning of our history.
Right.
Is this type of fucking evil
well,
shit?
Actually, the Sumerians were before the Egyptians.
Okay, you tell me about the Sumerians,
yeah.
man.
The Sumerians were... Yeah, the Sumerians were the first civilization, recorded civilization on Earth that had,
okay.
Cities, you know, in other words, organized civilizations.
Was that Mesopotamia
first,
or what?
Yes, actually it is. It's in like Iraq and that region and stuff.
Right.
They were the
where
first.
Where the ISIS are destroying
up.
All the shit, but anyway.
Right. But supposedly it's destroying
they're doing fake shows.
Fake ones.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're stealing the shit and they're putting fake shit up and they're destroying it for the news.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
They were the first with written language.
Right.
They were very
they came
organized.
Up with zero.
They had. Right, and they were the first ones with, like, government, you know, like an overseeing body to run the civilization.
Okay. The Mayans came up with zero as well, and so did the Chinese.
Right.
So,
and
you know,
so, but the Sumerians have an alien story too. They claim in the tab, the Sumerians.
Okay.
They claim that basically aliens came down from the whole Nibiru story. That,
right.
In other words, their atmosphere was dying because of their pollution and stuff, polluting their planet and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they came here to mine gold. To, in other words, do kind of like what we're doing now with aluminum and barium in the atmosphere to reflect, you know, the sunlight away.
Yeah.
What chemtrails are, or geoengineering, the proper name. And so, and they said that that they came down and they were, you know, a very advanced civilization, these aliens, and that they, in other words, melded their DNA with the primates to create a slave rate to do the mining for them. And that's how we were created.
All right.
And there's, you know, it is very interesting, and there's a lot of, and again, these ancient civilizations, you know, coming up with these incredible stories, you know, it's like out of a comic book, out of like a modern comic book, these stories, you know, but this happened, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago. Where were these people coming up with these stories? You know, like it just doesn't coincide with, in other words, primitive man, you know, I just find it strange, hard to believe that their imaginations could run that wild about, you know, other races come down from, you know, different planets and, you know, all this
right.
stuff.
How would they know about planets?
Right. And they did. And actually they depict, they knew about Pluto before anybody else, you know, they picked Pluto and stuff and, you know, which wasn't detected till the 1930s by modern, you know, science.
Right.
So these people, you know, had some smarts, basically, you know.
Yeah,
so.
For sure, man. You know, these World War II stops for the U.S. military, say, some islands near, well, on the Ring of Fire, basically. They set up shop, you know, like make a runway and, you know, hang out there for a couple of years and then just abandon the fucking place. Well, the people that lived on those islands,
yeah,
didn't
ever
have
Midway Islands and stuff.
Right, and they wanted the people to come back, so they made runways, and they made fake airplanes.
Right, they created wood planes too to emulate their planes.
Planes, and they did a ritual, you know, like the planes taking off, and everyone's like, there are all these like, you know, I don't call them savages, but they are. Primitive indigenous
people,
humans that live there.
Right.
I mean, and they're just like, you know, tapping sticks, and they're all painted up, and they're like, "What do you think these guys are going to tell their kids?" You know, like once upon a time, these space aliens came,
and they're flying,
and then it goes on. It's like,
and so my point exactly. You could see how how the two these types of stories kind of correlate. In the same way, you know, it points to it being kind of true, you know. I mean, obviously, we don't know for sure, but in other words, it gives more evidence to it.
Well, just the fact that there is such information to be gleaned and taken in. I mean, this all stemmed from us talking about how the elites have all the knowledge. Like, they have accumulated all the worldly secrets and all that shit.
Right. That's what the mystery schools are all about. They're the carriers of the ancient knowledge.
Right. It separates them from us so that they're superior. But
they actually believe that they're a separate species than us, than normal, everyday people. That's their words, not mine. Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it is. It literally is.
That's more funny than I can't take that seriously, man.
But this is what, see, this is the thing, though. You know, it as crazy as it is, this is what these people are actually believing and thinking. You know, so even though you think it's crazy, they take it seriously. And this is, you know, how they're going about their lives, thinking about this stuff, you know, which makes them even more dangerous.
I was just giving a little shot at them because they're just people and, you know, fuck off with your fuck, you're better than me kind of crap. Anyway, it's high time we talked about, let's see,
If you want to touch on, I don't know if you know about the Nazi bell and that whole story.
Go for it.
The Nazi bell is very interesting. Basically, it was stumbled upon by German scientists during the war or even preceding the war. And there's a lot of evidence pointing to it being actually very real. In other words, the scientists figured out that if you took two barrels, what he did was like two 55-gallon drums filled with liquid mercury, which is a metal, in other words, put them on sort of like a gyroscope so they would revolve around each other. And then he applied high-voltage electricity. In other words, a high-voltage electricity field around these two spinning barrels of liquid mercury.
Right.
supposedly was supposed to create anti-gravity, an anti-gravitic field. And also, it's also rumored that they were also able to bend space and time and actually time travel with this machine. And it was called the Nazi bell because it was in the shape of like a bell or an acorn. And what's really funny is so that was going on in I believe Poland, in the mountains in Poland after they took over Poland, the Nazis. And they had a base in a mountain, and they were doing all these secret experiments. And there was this one general that was in charge of the bell. And when the Allies conquered the Germans, this general supposedly also had their biggest airplane, cargo plane. And him and the bell at the end of the war, when the Nazis lost the war, he basically took off with the bell and this plane that had a 6,000-mile fuel radius. And supposedly went down to, where all the Nazis fled, down to, like, Argentina and South America. And then there's a rumor about Admiral Byrd and the U.S. Navy going to chase them, because they knew that he had the bell, and he supposedly went down to Antarctica and the South Pole, and the Nazis had a base down there. And to this day, if you go on Google Earth and look at Antarctica, there's a section, I forgot which side of Antarctica it's on, but there's a section along the coastline that's totally blacked out. And no, on Google Earth, I swear to God, you could see it for yourself. And
that's cool.
Yeah, so supposedly Admiral Byrd went down there with the United States Navy with a whole fleet of, you know, aircraft carriers, destroyers and everything. And they were confronted by the Nazis and the UFOs that they created. And supposedly the Nazis kicked the living shit out of the United States Navy. And they came back, you know. In other words, they sunk a bunch of ships and stuff, and they just came back, and then they classified the whole thing. So so the bell, I just want to add one more thing. I forgot the name of the UFO incident in Pennsylvania. I forgot the name of the town. I'll mention it in the next episode because I got to look it up. But I think it was in, like, the 50s or 60s. if something came crashing to earth in this town in Pennsylvania, it was like a fireball in the sky at night. But the witnesses claimed that it was, you know, like making turns, you know, because they said, you know, it was like a meteorite or whatever. But in other words, before it crashed into the earth, it was making like right-hand turns, and it looked like it was being, you know, guided intelligently. And so when it crashed, people went down there and witnesses described the thing looking like an acorn, which is exactly, and it had strange writing, which they described basically the Nazi bell. So it ended up, the government came there, sealed the whole place off, and took the, you know, whatever this thing was out on a flatbed truck with a top over it. But it's rumored to be, it was the Nazi bell. And instead of that German general fleeing with it, that they were able to actually time travel. And that, in other words, that's where it popped out. It popped out in the United States, you know, in the 50s, late 50s or early 60s. And that the United States then recovered this the Nazi bell, which could lead to all kinds of implications. Because if you think, you know, you can go back and forward in time, you could basically do anything you want.
The only
and
real
create
way
any kind of history you want.
The only real way, based on space-time that I know of, is going forward in time. But
Einstein kind of talked about that, right? That you couldn't go backwards.
Yeah. But easily go forward, no problems. Just, you know, hang out by the event horizon of a black hole, and you'll just, zip through all of the future. Let me see.
Well, he was the one that proved, in other words, via solar eclipse, that, in other words, gravity bends light.
Yep.
And so, right, that whole, you know, along those lines. So he proved that, in other words, space-time could be bent and changed, that it wasn't, you know, a constant. So it could be manipulated. If you had enough gravitic force.
Well, I've heard of, you know, like they figured out anti-gravity and it's already in use and blah, blah, blah.
Right,
you know, like,
I believe the same.
I'm not downplaying what you're saying. I think it's it's interesting.
I mean, it's highly interesting, even just as a story, you know.
Huh?
Highly interesting, even if it isn't true. It's just like, it's amazing. It's like a comic book story to me, you know.
Yeah, totally. It's
It'd
be interesting to know the truth. And then, you know, if we can't access it or whatever, at least we can talk about it. But even if we're wrong about it, at least we're approximating it. I mean, I have this idea in my head that everything that you can possibly think of that can be thought of can and will be thought of.
Right. I believe the same thing.
If you can arrive at it,
it's within the realm of possibilities.
Right.
In other words, if it can be thought up, it could be done eventually. Even if you think of it now, it might take a while, but it could be accomplished. You know, things could happen, you know, in the future. Once, you know, technology catches up with your brain or whatever.
As long as there's the, where there's a need,
a will,
you know, or a will. There's a way. So, and you know, if we want to stop these bad guys, well, if there's a will, there's a way. So, but the interesting part of this episode was, and end of last episode was to talk about, you know, hidden knowledge and just the point of there's plenty of it, and we only covered like enough of it, you know, like not much of it. It's fucking awesome watching, you know, that's why everyone loved X-Files so much, is because it's like, it's all about the mysterious, you know, stuff, and, we got a few minutes left. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about? I got an interesting story. Well, as long as we're on aliens and stuff,
go ahead.
There's a theory or a hypothesis that, in other words, I saw on your page, you like Jurassic Park a lot, right? The movie?
Yeah, I guess so.
me too. I dig it a lot. So, but so along the lines of velociraptors that were, you know, like highly advanced, you know, they found out basically that them and Tyrannosaurus Rex and stuff were actually leaning towards warm-blooded. And in other words, weren't these big loafing, you know, stupid creatures, that they were actually very intelligent.
Right.
So there's a hypothesis that, and who's to say that, in other words, creatures along the lines of velociraptors could have actually evolved into more hominid creatures like us, and created technology and actually left the Earth, and that's and you know the whole thing about reptilians and stuff could actually be, you know, evolved dinosaurs that, you know, created technology and left the Earth, and that's what we're seeing, you know, in these UFOs are actually creatures from this Earth that evolved, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago.
Right.
I just wanted to get that out while we were on the lines of...
Do you remember the series when you were young?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have like Donovan and Diana, and remember the scene where Diana eats a hamster? She's like, ah!
Right.
So, and you know, they all look human, but if you like scratch their face real hard, they're you would see their lizard face.
Yeah, they're a reptile. Right, they got scales underneath.
It so parallels everything that's going on. Okay, so these evil reptilians come to Earth, and everyone's like, holy shit. They're like, we come in peace and all this shit, and everything's, they've meld into society, and everyone's kissing their ass.
Yeah, they're here to help us and
cure
cancer and all of that.
They have these cool little spaceships they fly around in. They're like, all right, let's go. Right. You know, like five or six people get in. It's like a limousine, but it's a spaceship and it flies around. You know, it was so cool to watch that show, man. And Freddie Englund was in it. He was the guy from Nightmare on Elm Street. He played one of the good aliens. So the point of this was they're actually evil. And they've been hiding the truth, and some people know it, and they're considered the conspiracy people, and they have to hide out in this fucking abandoned fucking sewer pipe or something or whatever. And they plan everything, and in the end, you know, after six series, they finally get the bad guys. But the bad guys destroy the planet. Like they kill everybody and destroy everything, and they're so fucking evil. And you know, it's like this is a fucking TV show, and it's really happening.
Right. And but then you know, I mean, if you do really get to the, you know, I've delved into the whole alien stuff, and if you get, in other words, if you get into their motives, like supposedly abduction people are being, you know, DNA is being extracted, babies are being stolen, you know, hybrids and all this stuff, and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Man.
I mean, if you get it, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, if an advanced species, you know, we could be even created by, you know, there's theories that we're, you know, there's evidence in our DNA. Right. And because so much of our DNA is like shut off intentionally that shouldn't be, and they call it junk DNA, but actually it's just shut off.
Okay.
In other words, the genes.
Imagine you turn it on, you grow wings.
Yeah, right. You probably could, and even more. You know, I'm sure there's gene lines, you know, with intelligence and stuff. You know, where you would grow a giant, you know, head, and you know, have a gigantic brain. You know.
Yeah. Well, actually, as I understand it, we only use 10% of the brain or something like that.
Exactly.
It's considered a muscle, and I think, but it's all fat, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Right, the brain.
And it's all mostly water, so.
Made mostly of cholesterol, supposedly. From right.
Now listen, you zombies, you got to watch your cholesterol. All right. So anyway,
don't grow your brains too big.
Don't eat too many brains. Anyways, what was I getting at? Oh, Einstein's brain was small.
Yeah.
It was smaller than the average brain. But maybe that makes for quicker communication between the neurons, but I'm just guessing. But what I'm getting at is that we use 10% of our brain. So, like, what if we used all of our brain, you know, like engaged every aspect of our brain that isn't memory and isn't, you know, like, could we, like, attach different pieces to ourselves, like an extra arm or, you know, like this, that, or the other thing, and, like, engage that part of the brain? You know,
right.
I'm guessing, you know,
that goes along the lines of like, the big, what is it? Like the Brontosaurus dinosaurs were actually so huge that, in their pelvic area, like towards their tail, they actually had a second brain to operate their hind legs because they were so huge.
No,
it's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
Oh, my God.
So they actually had two brains. So, you know, in that sense, there are possibilities biologically, you know, where, you know, things can be multiplied. And, you know, who wouldn't want two brains? You know what I mean?
You know, a guy actually got half his brain cut out because he had, like, an accident. Something and it was dead or whatever, so they cut it out. But he was still able to function. He was completely 100% able to function without half of his brain.
Right.
Like the
that's the miracle of the brain itself. It's able to rewire itself. You know, the synapses and the connections. And if you really think about it, it's sort of like just like a it's a biological computer. It runs along the same exact lines as a computer. It's just connections, electrical connections.
Yeah. Well, this is very interesting stuff. I listened to this woman talk about how she had a stroke, and she was a neurophysicist, and she had a stroke, and she was describing from a neurophysicist standpoint, exactly what it's like to have a fucking stroke. As she was trying to dial 911, it was like she saw she could see the numbers, but she couldn't.
Right, I've heard the story.
Skills to it's fucked up. It's
incredible.
Shit. It's like,
and then
it was so cool to listen to it.
I know we're running out of time, but we also have to get into. I don't know if you've heard about the reverse talk, reverse speech.
No.
Oh, that's the next episode. I'll get into that with you. That's highly very interesting. Where, in other words, there's phrases being said in conversations that are in reverse that you're not even aware of between brain to brain. So there's conversations going on that we're not even aware of in our vocabulary, you know, in our conversations.
I'm paranoid. I understand all of that stuff. Okay, I promise you.
It was discovered by accident by a psychiatrist in Australia. He went on I'll just give the beginning of the story. He went on, hitchhiked across Europe, and he brought his Walkman with him. This was like in the 80s, I believe. And he dropped his Walkman, and it broke, and it would only play backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, this was totally accidental. And as he was listening to the music backwards, he started hearing phrases, which along the lines, you know, like Led Zeppelin, you play Stairway to Heaven in reverse, you know, you could hear, you know, My Sweet Satan and all that stuff. So he noticed this, and when he went back to Australia to his practice, he started recording his patients' conversations with him secretly, not telling them about it. And then afterwards, he would play them in reverse. And he discovered that there were all kinds of phrases being said. And for one example, before we run out of time, this one lady was, she was a professional. She made really good money. She had a really good job. And all of a sudden, she moved into a new house. And she started getting very deathly ill. You know, all kinds of, you know, bad respiratory problems and stuff. And she lost her job. And she was actually, you know, from all the medical bills and stuff, she was literally, like, going crazy because she was, you know, bankrupted. So she spoke 1 hour with this guy, and he played the tape back in reverse. And she says in the tape, and it's clear as day. It's on YouTube. I'll send it to you. She says in reverse. She says under the floor, it's killing me. So him, the psychiatrist, and his brother-in-law, the next session, asked her if they could go to her house. And she said, okay. She brought him to the house. They go into the living room. They pull up the floorboard, and underneath the house is like 3 feet thick of black mold. And she had no idea.
Okay.
And, but her brain did. Her brain knew that something was in the house that was killing her. And she said it in reverse, and that's how they discovered. And in other words, you know, they basically saved her life. She was going to die from the black mold.